Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 452, Power Rangers Wild Force, episode 34, Forever Red.
It aired October 5th, 2002, written by the GOAT, as far as this season's concerned, Ahmet Bamuk, and directed by Koichi Sakamoto. Josh, we made it.
We did it.
It took us 6 years?
Yeah.
How long have we been doing this?
Almost seven? It's, no.
It's almost no. Six. We it's started almost, in yeah. 2014, so it's almost 6 years to watch 10 years of Power Rangers.
We're making good time.
I think so. I think we're doing pretty all right. So, if you're new here, hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. We're doing a big one today. Trevor Red.
This one maybe is like understandable why maybe you're new here and haven't listened to any other episodes before now.
Hey, if you're actually new here because you're listening to the Forever Red episode, what we do is we pause the recording and then we go watch an episode of Power Rangers. In this case, it's going to be Forever Red. And then we come back and we talk about it and you can follow along if you have Netflix or the DVDs. And you should because it's Forever Red. I watched this one like 12 years ago, I feel like.
I watched this episode on YouTube, I don't know exactly how long ago, but it was before all the Shout Factory box sets were coming out.
Yeah, it's when you worked at the Mount, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was like 2011 to 12?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
So that's been a minute. I watched it before that. I feel like I watched it when I was in college, also on YouTube, because no one gave a shit about Power Rangers for so long. Look where they are now. Got them, folks.
It's all thanks to us. None of this would have happened if we didn't start this podcast.
Hey, everybody. You're welcome.
Us starting this podcast was us the secreting Power Rangers back into the limelight.
I think so.
Everybody, you're welcome. You're welcome that we did this for you.
I mean, technically, Ranger Danger started like 3 months before us, but like,
I mean, maybe they aired. We started about a year before we started.
A calendar year before anyone heard us. We had a lot of false starts, but we made it. We're doing Forever Red. Josh, I'm so excited. I'm tittering. Let's go watch the episode.
Which one do we do?
Let's just do It's Morphin' Time.
Yes.
It's Morphin' Time.
It's Morphin' Time. Time.
It's Morphin' Time. Time.
It's morphin' time.
And we're back, and we just watched Forever Red, and it was really good.
Yeah, it'll be fun to look at the top half of the rankings list again.
I know, it's been at least four episodes since we were above, because I know Team Carnival was like up around in the single digits, but everything, like the three or four before that, and all the ones after that have just been real lead balloons. HeyJakeandJosh.com. That's the website. You can go there. You can go listen to all the old episodes. You want to hear about your favorite Red Power Rangers? You can go to HeyJakeandJosh.com. Listen to old episodes about them. There's also the classic feeds, volumes 1 and 2. And those are up on your iTunes and other places. Who knows where else? A lot of places just populate from iTunes, but I don't know. Find them. You can do a Google. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphingrid. We're on Red Delicious Podcasts. We're on Google Play. We're on Podknife. We're on Podbay. We're on Podbay B. We're on Pod. I just want to say Pod Doctor, but
we are on Pod Ever Red.
Pod Ever Red. All your favorite red podcasts? You know how sometimes you watch a show and you're like, this is a blue show. This show feels blue to me, right?
I do that with anything.
Yeah, I know you do that with like literally everything. Is Power Rangers a red show?
It depends on the season. Wild Force definitely is a red season.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that. Is Morphin Grid a red show? Would we make it on too?
I don't think so. I think Morphin Grid is a green show.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird to me. See, I think it's a yellow show. Okay, well, you can't listen to us on Pod Ever Red, but you can probably listen to, I don't know, Ranger Danger's probably a red show. That feels redder to me.
Super Sentai Brothers is red to me.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Go listen to our friends. you can't listen to us there, but you know what? We'll take the hit. Sometimes, you know, it's just the card you're dealt. You can leave us a rating review in those places if you want to help us out. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. For as little as $1 a month, you get some neat stuff in return. You get early episodes. You get bonus episodes. You get Tattoo Teen Jelly Fighter from Beverly Hills review episodes, which maybe next week we can record those.
Maybe.
At least one. We'll see. We'll see what's going on. So speaking of next week, this is the week before Christmas. We're not going to have an episode next week. So going out on a bang.
So yeah, Merry Christmas. Here's Forever Red.
Here's Forever Red. Actually, let me look at the calendar. Maybe we're going to take a week and a half off, and we'll be back on the 6th. I'm making the executive decision that we're going to come back in the new year. Okay. Because I'm going to be out of town for a week, and it's like holiday times, and I don't want to have to worry about editing as much as I already have to worry about it. So, yeah, we'll be back on the 6th, but we're going out on what is gonna be a banger, I'm sure. I do want to look up some trivia, because Netflix is doing this new thing where it doesn't show you a preview of the episode you're about to watch anymore, which I hate.
Yeah, it sucks.
It just is like, here's a bar that goes real quick. It's like you get 4 seconds to be like, let me watch the credits. So I clicked it real quick and watched the credits. And there were some names in the credits that I was like, oh, okay. I didn't notice that at all. So I'm looking up right now. I'm trying to point my Google Chrome to Ranger Wiki.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, I know.
Hunker down. We're going to be here for a minute.
Yeah.
While all the ads load.
There's so many. I can't even type, though. Yeah, I'm sure you'll figure out what Forever Red means. Forever Red. There it is. I'm just going to scroll on down to the trivia. Hey, you know how Forever Red is like a huge episode?
Yeah.
There's like... Mm-hmm. There's not even a synopsis of it on Ranger Wiki. Hey, Ranger Wiki? Is everything okay?
What?
Okay.
Don't worry, I'm sure they have a freaking 6-page essay about a random Dino Thunder episode.
Well, they've got a whole page on Garrock, who was a character who got a name in this episode, but they didn't say the name in this episode. Yeah, okay, we'll get to... Well, that was a bust. Here I was going to try to do some research on the fly. Kind of seemed like a professional podcast for a second, but Ranger Wiki's too big of a dipshit to let me do that. So I guess instead of pussyfooting around anymore, Josh, you want to talk about this episode? It's a Friday. We normally do stuff. We did that stuff on Monday.
Yeah, we did that last time because this was like a big deal. Because this is, I mean, other than like the last season crossovers, this is the first like big crossover episode.
Yeah,
this is the first Power Rangers event episode,
and it's only 20 minutes long, and it is jam-packed. It took me 45 minutes to watch it.
Yeah, I've watched it in 20 minutes, but
but I kept pausing.
That was my phone. Oh no,
just like old times, hitting all the old hits.
I don't even remember what I was talking about. I dropped my phone, and now the episode's ruined.
It took you 20 minutes to watch it.
It was just like go, go, go as soon as you hit the play button. Well, as soon as you hit the skip intro button.
Right. I also did that because I was like, I just want to get right to this juicy action. And then so much happened, and it took me 45. It took me over twice as long to watch it just because I kept pausing. I had to take some screenshots of cool things.
Well, that bodes well for how long it's going to take us to talk about it.
Hey, look, that's why we're going to have 2 weeks off after this. We start off on the moon. We, like, zoom into the moon, first of all. And then there's cogs. There's like a big shed on the moon, and there's cogs all around it, and they're digging something up, and you're just like, you know, doing cog stuff. And at first I was like, did we have a nickname for them? And I don't think we did.
I think we just called them cogs.
I think they were just cogs. When did we start nicknaming the Mooks?
I don't know. What were the Mooks in Turbo?
They were Piranatrons. I think I called them Pitons.
Okay.
So maybe it started there. And I can't tell you, gun to my head, cannot tell you what the in-space Mooks were called.
I don't remember what they looked like.
They look like, I don't know, like robot ghosts, but like buff.
Yeah.
They look like they're in space.
Man, what a sad commentary on the declining state of Mooks and Power Rangers.
Yeah. I mean, Nutties are probably the most forgettable so far.
Yeah.
They've only been in like 4 episodes, I feel like.
But one of them was like a chef one time.
That's true. They were waiters. Anyway, so the cogs are on the moon. A bunch of Beetleborgs come up. This is not a joke.
These are real Beetleborgs.
One of the things I wanted to look up was which Beetleborgs were these. I know the main one, Vengix, who's the only one that gets a name. At least 3 of them have names because they're credited in the credits as, you know, like this actor voiced this person. Do you know who voices Vengix?
I have no idea.
Archie Cow.
Really?
Yeah. Did not. I think he's a little processed. Didn't even notice. There are 2 more. The green one, who is just straight up one of the main Beetleborgs. The rest of them are either like the evil Beetleborgs or the side Beetleborgs that help them. It's been, I'm going to say, conservative estimate, 20 years since I've seen any amount of Beetleborg except for episode 23 when we did that as a prank back in our first season. So I don't remember what the context is. Vengix is like the Shadow Borg. He's like the main villain of season 2, I think. Okay. Green one is just straight up season 1, like Roland. Like the character Roland was the green Beetleborg, and that's this one. The yellow one is like the lightning bug one. Her name is Tesla. Oh, sorry. The green one is Garrick. I should probably talk about him. That's Garrick or Garrock. It's never said. That's Walter Jones.
Really?
Yeah. This is a bigger reunion than I thought. Tesla, the lightning bug one, the one that looks like a lady, not the ladybug one, doesn't look like a lady. So that's nice, at least. So yeah, the lightning bug one, her name is Tesla, T-E-Z-Z-L-A. That's sure. Catherine Sutherland.
Well, dang.
Yeah, and the other 2 were nobodies. They didn't get credit. Like, they don't have names. One of them is the ladybug one. That one has had a dope, like, you squeeze its legs and, like, a thing came out of the chest, I think. Or maybe it was a centipede one. The other one didn't look like a Beetleborg I've ever seen. It looked like a cop. It looked like a VR trooper, but, like, a bad one.
Maybe it might have been a VR trooper. They just needed one more costume. They're like, I'll just grab one out of the shed.
Yeah, I wish I could check it out on Ranger Wiki, but they don't have the synopsis of the episode, even. I feel like it's the wrong Ranger Wiki that I clicked on because it just seemed weirdly naked. Anyway, they're digging something up. Vendrick says, like, Lord Zedd was a fool to leave this here, but his loss is our gain. And then we see somebody in a big purple cloak watching, and it's Andros. And he's about to call somebody, but then he, like, kicks a boulder off the cliff.
Yeah, he turns to, like, run away and make a phone call and, like, pushes off on the rubble on the top of the cliff.
Yeah, it just makes this big landslide. All of them look over at him and see a big purple man run away, and they're like, go get him. So they hop on their moon horses, and they moon horse over to him.
Now, this makes no sense for a lot of different reasons. The first and most glaring, I think, is that horses can't breathe on the moon.
Well, humans can breathe on the moon.
Well, that's true. In Power Rangers, humans can breathe in space as long as they're on a snowboard.
Well, if they're on a snowboard, they can. If they're space surfing, if they're spurfing, they can. They can breathe. At least big turtles can, and so can little children. We don't know about regular sized people.
Right.
But The moon's always had air on Power Rangers.
I'm glad you added that qualifier.
Yeah, not in real life. Well, I don't know. Neil Armstrong was too much of a coward to take his helmet off and check.
So, don't call out Neil Armstrong.
I would
on
never.
Our podcast.
He's an American hero.
He'll kick our ass.
Him, Buzz Aldrin, and Mike Collins. That's right. The other guy that no one remembers because he had to stay in the spaceship. He wasn't allowed to go on the moon because someone had to hold the fort.
The other one, and I don't know if we've learned this yet in the episode. I don't think we did, but we saw the cogs. So I don't think it's a spoiler to say that this is the Machine Empire riding horses on the moon.
Well, they have little machine plate, like are they, horse armor.
Are they cyborg horses?
Yeah, now. I think so. I think it's hard to make convincing robot-looking horses.
That's true. Why horses at all?
You know, that's a great question. You know what would have been pretty cool? Dirt bikes.
Yeah, like a machine that goes fast,
for example. So they ride their moon horses. He jumps on his astro glider. He astro glides away. And then we cut to poolside at a swinging resort. It's a club. It's Club Bulkmeyer. Not to spoil who we're about to meet. It's Club Bulkmeyer. It looks like a backyard.
It looks like someone's backyard pool.
Yeah, but it's a club. So Bulk is there, and he's like, "Yeah, I met Lord Zedd and Rita." And then the camera pans over to Skull. They're playing chess with Power Rangers and Psycho Rangers chess pieces. And Skull's like, "Oh yeah, me too." And then like scratches his butt, and it makes sound effects. And this is the first.
God,
part,
I
started
them.
Crying.
I miss them so much.
I got teary at
also,
my boys.
It's extra tear inducing because it's just like Bulk following in Ernie's footsteps in a weird way.
I know. Why didn't this just keep happening? Why didn't you just keep Bulk moving his juice bar from town to town like a wandering samurai?
From backyard to backyard, whichever backyard would have him.
But yeah, it's really sweet that he's new Ernie.
Yeah.
I like that. I also like that Skull's here. I also really like that Bulk is not on Miranoi anymore.
Thank God.
Who cares why? It doesn't matter. But he gets a phone call. He runs over. He's like, "Bulk Myers?" And he's like, "Oh, yeah, okay." And he walks over to a spiky-haired man in sunglasses. We don't see his whole face. It could be anybody. But he hands him the phone, and he's like, "Yes." He's like, "It sounds important." Because Skull's like, "You sure you want to bother him with this?"
They know, right? Those two know.
Well, yeah. I mean, they gotta. Right?
Because
in Countdown Destruction, they saw the Rangers demorph.
Yeah, but that was the Space Rangers.
That was the Space Rangers, but I mean, it was also the Turbo Rangers who, like, took over hanging out with Justin from the other. I'm sure that once they saw that, all the pieces just clicked,
I mean,
right?
They're definitely treating it like they know. Like,
for sure.
He's a big deal, and not just like, he could kick us so hard we will disintegrate, and so we're just going to serve him free juice.
Here's a free juice on a phone call.
And it's also kind of cute. Well, look, I don't want to spoil who this is, but I will say that it's also kind of cute that he's just hanging out at Bulk's club.
Yeah, that is kind of nice. And so he's just chilling, and he's like, "Yes, okay." And then we cut from there to a park. We cut to a park, and the Power Rangers are there. It's all five of them. Remember last episode how we were like, the Wild Rangers, sorry. In this episode, I need to be specific.
Yeah, because there's a lot of Power Rangers in this episode.
Yeah. So the Wild Rangers are there. Remember last time we were like, "Oh, maybe we'll get some Taric stuff." And then I don't know if it was you or me that was like, "Oh, she'll probably not even talk." Well, she didn't. Taylor nope. Doesn't say one word.
Nobody does except for Cole.
Except for Cole. So they walk up. Here's the thing I like about this is Alyssa and Max and Danny are in their sparring workout gear because every morning they like go fight in the park. Taylor and Cole aren't because they don't need to do that. Just some nice continuity. So up pulls Carter Grayson, the boy, and he's like, "Hey, are you Cole Evans?" Cole's like, "Yeah." He's like, "You the Red Power Ranger?" Cole's like, "I guess you know that, so yeah."
Yeah, they're like, "How did you know that?" And Carter does not answer him. He's just like, "I've been sent here to to retrieve you for a mission.
Yeah, recruiting you for a mission. And he holds up his morpher and he's like, Red Rangers only.
Yeah, Lightspeed Red Ranger.
Yeah, so then...
No Ryan's allowed.
So when I saw Carter... well, he's at home, you know. Right. Who knows what he's off doing? He might be in a desert now, looking for more desert stuff. When Carter showed up, I literally blew my TV a kiss. I was like, oh, thank you. I missed my boy. I missed so many of these boys, and I didn't even realize it until like a minute from now when I just got like really choked up. So we cut to a Nasada base. Remember that old thing? Yeah, so did Amit. And we're
because he's watched Power Rangers before
because he likes the show and has seen it before. And he remembers a lot of little things. There's a lot of like little things just kind of dripped in over this episode. It's like, hey, Power Rangers has always been cool. Like, don't.
Yeah.
I don't know why we treat it like it didn't exist before Wild Force. So he comes in. They drive into the base. Wes and Eric are already there. He's like, oh, you've already met them. Wes, the Time Force Red Ranger, and Eric, the Quantum Ranger. Because it's still a show for babies, so just in case they don't know.
Right.
And then Wes is like, yeah, and that's TJ. And he points at a car, and the door opens, and there's a full-on Fast and the Furious character reveal of TJ getting out of his car.
It's not the only Fast and Furious character reveal we're going to get. Because there's a big one coming.
Yeah. The camera like whips around to reveal TJ, and he comes out and he's still ripped as hell. And he's like, yeah, I'm TJ. What's up? And then he's like, also, there's Andros. And Andros kind of walks in from the side. he's like, yeah, what up? I'm also Andros. So then they're like, what's going on? Why are we all here? And Carter's like, we were assembled by a veteran ranger. And then the camera like kind of pans over to the door. And a guy steps out in silhouette.
Yeah, there's like a bright sun shining behind him. A bright white sun shining behind him.
And he's the camera like zooms in. And it's Tommy.
What?
I know. It's the spiky haired man from before. He got a haircut at some point. Oh, I do want to point out. This is the first of at least three times. Well, four times. That my phone auto-corrected Tommy. Three times to Timmy, one time to Tony. Don't know why. It's probably my fault more than my phone's, but it's weird.
You've gotten a new phone since you've had to type about Tommy.
Exactly. So it's like, I don't know who that is. So he's like, the remains of the Machine Empire are digging up something on the moon. I don't think he mentions specifically what yet. I think it's in a minute. It's like they're digging up something on the moon, and TJ's like, didn't you destroy the whole Machine Empire? Didn't the Zeo Rangers get rid of all them? And he's like, yeah, we beat all the leaders, but there were some generals that were hidden even from us. They were secret. Yeah. No one saw them. Don't worry.
Even the Zordon energy wave could not touch these generals.
Yeah, that's a question I had is it because they're robots?
Maybe, because they destroyed the Machine Empire in Zeo, so we didn't. When the Z-Wave went out, we didn't see any Machine Empire stuff, did we?
I feel like we did. I don't remember.
I can't either. I feel like I do remember King Mondo being hit by it, but also, like, they definitely blew him up.
They blew him up. Maybe Gasket and Machina got caught in the wave. Somebody let us know. I mean, we're recording this 2 weeks ago, but someone let us know. Because I'm not going to go back and watch the episodes, and I'd love to look at it on Ranger Wiki, but...
For some reason, everyone who edits Ranger Wiki doesn't care about Forever Red.
I guess they missed this one episode. It's weird. So he's like, so they're all back. They were hiding. They are back, and now they're digging up something big and powerful on the moon. We need to go stop them, or else, like, the Earth is done for. And they're like, well, how are we going to get to space? And Andros, like, clicks a button, and lights pop up. He's like, on the Astro Megaship Mark II. We built it on KO-35, because remember how KO-35 is repopulated now?
Yeah.
I like to think that that's where he and Ashley live. Like, that's Ashley's still, like, there.
Oh, yeah.
She's, like, the yellow ranger of KO-35, just doing stuff. So Tommy's like, now this is, like, really dangerous, and I can't force you to go, so you have to make the decision for yourself. And Cole's like, I will go wherever I have to protect the Earth.
Okay. I'm gonna point this out now, and we're just gonna have to be okay with it for the rest of the episode, because I get that this is an episode in Power Rangers Wild Force.
Uh-huh. It's Cole's season.
And so Cole's a little bit, it's a little heavy on Cole, and I feel like maybe that was a corporate mandate. Cole has to be the star of the episode in a weird way.
I don't think he really is. I think he gets,
he's not
like,
yet, but he is at the end.
I mean, the very end, yes, and that literally was like corporate mandated because of like toy sales, basically.
Right, yeah.
But I
just made all these toys again. You could have sold so many Jasons.
I mean, look, literally 10, 15 years later, that's literally their whole business model now, is selling the old toys. You fools.
This is a weird in-between era, I think, where like the kids who grew up watching it are too cool for it right now.
They're and teens they're, now, yeah.
They're going to grow up into the adult collectors that are buying the toys today, but they're not there yet.
Right. So there's not really like a market for nostalgia. Whereas watching it, you know, in 2019, I'm a pretty big proponent of like not letting nostalgia like fuel every decision we make, which is why you can tell I'm not in charge of anything. But like, hey, it's really cool seeing a bunch of old Power Rangers. Like, that was pretty neat. So yeah, that, but I think for the most part, I think Cole got really like even screen time.
I think so. There's I think 4 to 6 out of 10 that get the majority of the screen time, and I think that's very understandable.
Yeah. Cole's like, okay, or Cole's like, yeah, I will go anywhere I have to protect Earth. And everybody else is like, yeah, same, totes. And then we get to TJ, and he's like, it's not even a question.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, the boy, the same boy who's like, yeah, we're going to space now. Like,
we don't have like, powers, but we're going to go fight monsters in space.
TJ going to space to fight monsters is literally a character choice, like trait at this point. Yeah. Where he's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. I'll go to space to fight monsters. Like,
I love space.
I love it. I love beating up monsters.
I love to punch a monster in space. It's my favorite.
I'm going
to
do it so much. They're like, all right, let's go. So they start walking away. And then Andros says unintentionally the funniest thing in the episode, where he goes, wait, wasn't there one other Red Ranger on Earth? Because your boy Tiki isn't on Earth, I guess.
Okay, well, let's keep going. I do want to talk about that, because I do have some very specific things to say about it, but we have to get there, I think, first.
Yeah. Tommy's like, yeah, I was hoping he would come, but haven't heard from him. We're just going to have to go without him. And then in the distance, we hear a motorcycle pull up. So they all run outside, and they, like, line up because they're Power Rangers. They also talk to each other like pro wrestlers do backstage, where they're all, like, shoulder to shoulder, like, looking around at each other.
So they're all facing all their, the camera.
So you can all see all their fronts. They run outside. We get one shot of Tommy being like, huh? And then a motorcycle pulls up, and a man gets off.
Slowly, Masked Singer style, takes his helmet off. It takes him, like, 15 minutes.
I've never seen the show. Does it take him a long time to reveal who it is?
There's a lot of like, oh, it's stuck. Oh, no. Oh, it's like, just to build the tension of like the big reveal. And it works.
Right.
But like, after like 15 seconds, you're like, take off the fucking mask.
They should have a Power Ranger come on and just be in like a Power Ranger outfit. Just like straight up Power Ranger outfit. And they'd be like, who is it? Because, like, nobody would know.
Right.
no judges on the Masked Singer watched Power Rangers.
No, they definitely don't know what any of their singing voices are.
No, for sure.
So, yeah, he takes his helmet off, and it's just Tiki.
Well, no, it's not, actually.
Could you imagine?
I would have lost my mind. It's Jason. It's the man.
And he's so cool and like kind
of cool.
He's so cool now, and he's just smug enough. He's got that like,
man,
big Razor Ramon energy.
Oh god He does. Oh my god, I love it so much, because he gets off the motorcycle, he takes his helmet off, it's Jason. They're like, whoa, it's Jason. And he puts his helmet down. He's like, hey, you the new guy? He goes right up to Cole. He's like, you the new guy? Cole's like, yeah. And he holds his hand out, and he just like,
he wipes his hand off on his pants, like he wipes his sweat off and holds it out to shake, and Jason just pats him on the shoulder and walks away.
It's so cool. He's like, yeah, I recognize some of you more than others, as he gets to Tommy. And then he's like, you weren't gonna do this without me.
Yeah, he's like, you didn't think I'd let you do this without the original Red Ranger.
Original Red Ranger. Tommy's like, I didn't think you were going to show up. He's like, well, I'm here now. And they do the Predator, like, bro shake.
And this is and the last time
and I, yep.
Jason David Frank and Austin St. John have ever interacted.
they were at the Power Ranger 2017 movie premiere together, but they neither looked very happy about it. I hope they've both... Because from what I understand, it was mostly JDF.
Yeah.
But I hope they just put it behind them.
You can tell in this episode, this Tommy's attitude is very different from a Tommy we had before.
Yeah, well, so we decided that we're going to do an episode. We haven't done an episode on Hexagon yet, even though we've, I think, talked about it, like, a bunch of times. But, this moment is, like, what Hexagon is based on. So, in between... seasons, we're gonna do a bonus episode on Hexagon, but like this literally sets up the most perfect season that you could get out of like kind of corporate Tommy. Like Tommy's like weirdly like business, and Jason just rolled up on a motorcycle. Like he had to go beat up the two putties that walked away in episode two because he's clearing the earth of evil by himself with these fists. But yeah, so they do a bro shake, and then we get this big fucking Armageddon shot
Hell
of them
yeah.
all walking to go drill an asteroid hole to put a bomb in. It's great.
At this point, I was like, okay, they're treating it like everyone's here. And I was like, oh man, we got away without Leo.
Yeah.
I will be honest, Orico did not even pass through my brain until they said his name.
I am confident that Orico was a last minute inclusion when they could not get Tiki's number. So Steve Cardenas like moved to like Arizona or something. And no one had it. No one could find him. Like no one had his phone number. So they just couldn't get a hold of him.
That's great. So of all of the people he's worked with on Power Rangers, he was friends with none of them.
I guess like now they're like, he's, you know, he's in, you know, he does conventions. All the Power Rangers do conventions.
Yeah,
you know?
How they pay bills now.
You know, that exactly, you know, look, it works for old wrestlers. It works for old Power Rangers. But like, so like, he's clearly like friends with them. I feel like he just like didn't have a cell phone or something and like moved to Arizona.
Just went off the grid.
Yeah, he just went off the morphin grid.
Let me ask this question though.
Okay.
Because he was the second red Mighty Morphin Ranger.
Yeah.
What would he have done in this episode?
Ninja outfit.
Oh. It's
the only thing I can think. Or he'd be like, hey, I borrowed Orko's morpher so I can have a different suit. Because I feel like that's what they would have had to do. He was going to be Tommy's butler.
Well, here's two things I have to say. One of them doesn't quite hold up because the last thing he was a Blue Ranger. Same for TJ, though. So that doesn't hold any water. But at the end of Zeo, he did break his whole back.
He did, yes.
So I don't really know how much power ranging he could do. Butlering, probably quite a bit.
Yeah, maybe.
But power
maybe
ranging, I don't know.
I feel like the butler thing is possibly apocryphal. I mean, he'd probably, you know, he would have been like Tommy's like assistant. But like I feel like it would have been not outside the realm of possibility for Amit to be like, oh no, we're just going to give him Orico's suit because the only other Red Ranger suit. But I also think that maybe like that's why they pulled Eric in to like have a 10th Red Ranger.
Yeah.
But Eric is clearly like a character people care about. And Orico's just like, what if I'm Orico?
I'm here too. Nobody cares about me at all.
We're going to get a thing in a minute where it's like, oh yeah. That guy. They get the Armageddon shot. The ship takes off. We cut to the machine generals. They're doing like a big end of the season bad guy speech. You know, Vengix is there and he's like, we're going to get Serpentera out. We see Serpentera's head in the background. And they're like, we're going to get it out. It's the most powerful thing in the world, asterisk.
As long
it
as
runs
it
out
has,
of batteries yeah, every 20 minutes.
It's the most powerful as long as it has power.
No one's charged it in 6 years. I don't think it's going to last very long.
And maybe the moon is a wireless charger.
Maybe it's just been charging down for 6 years.
But you got to make sure you put it in the middle, because if you put it just a little bit to the side, you get no charge.
Oh, okay. It's a trick.
Then maybe that's only on the $10 one that I have.
I don't know. That is basically witchcraft to me. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's just a little magic circle that you put your phone on and it charges it with wishes.
Yeah. So he's doing his big speech. We get Serpentera. We cut to Miranoi. It zooms, the camera runs up to the quasar sabers and a hand grabs it. And I was like, are you going to treat this as a reveal?
Right. Thank God.
Like,
he's here.
Who's it gonna be? And then he pulls it out, and it's Mike instead.
He has a red cape.
He had a red cape. He's Andros's boyfriend now. They had a lot of chemistry in that episode. But no, it's Leo. They just immediately turns around and there's Leo. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah, he poses like, it's Leo. And I'm like, oh.
And we're just get on with it. Get out of here.
Leo's dumb face and stupid, handsome square jaw.
And he's ripped. He's very handsome, but Leo just sucks.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Danny Slavin's, a cool guy. From what I understand, he did Power Rangers for a year to basically, help pay for law school or something.
Yeah.
And it was I'm good. And came back for this episode because they did have his number.
I'm not going to fault the actor for the character he had to play.
Yeah, no,
but
of course not.
Unfortunately, Leo does suck, I think, the most.
Of any Red Ranger?
Maybe
easily.
Any Power Ranger. Well,
Ish is at the bottom of our list, but that's for a lot of reasons.
That's true. We do have a ranked list, and he's not all the way at the bottom of it.
Yeah,
but
he's not
pretty
worse
close.
He's not worse than Trey. He might not be worse than Oroko, but Oroko is basically a goldfish. You know?
Oroko didn't go. Leave the slaves. We'll come back later.
They'll be fine. Yeah, that Oroko just you know, when they do their little head thing. And anyway, so It's Leo. Cool. We cut back to the Power Rangers. They're at a meeting table on the Astro Mega ship. Andros is like, I called Leo. He's gonna pick up Oroko, and they're gonna meet us on the moon.
They're gonna carpool. It's faster to travel through space that way.
Yeah, I guess. Well, it's there's a lot less to move. They're much more space dynamic. I guess. So Tommy does a debriefing. He's like, Colonel Vengix is digging up Serpentera. That's bad for us. And Jason's like, they're like, what is that? And Jason's like, Serpentera is the meanest thing in the universe. He never saw it. He left, I think.
Was he gone by then?
No, Austin St. John was gone by then, but Jason, I think, was a voiceover man.
He was like, oh, we gotta do it.
Let's do it, guys. Get the Sword of Power.
Back into action.
Because I think this is the episode where they got the Sword of Power, and that's how they could transfer the power over, was the first Serpentera. So he at least has some experience. And he's like, yeah, it's the baddest thing ever. It's going to kick our whole ass. And it sucks that Tiki wasn't there to be like, well, it does run out of battery every 40 minutes. So maybe if we can just keep it running in circles for a little bit, it'll just fall back to the moon, and then we can just
take it
apart, dismantle it. Yeah.
Build new Zords out of the scraps.
Ooh. That one's mine. We get to keep that. Anyone listening, you don't get to use that. Cause how dope would it be of an evil ranger team showing up with scrapped Serpentera parts?
Yeah.
That would be radical. That's the Omega Zord.
Oh, for sure.
Anyway, we cut to the bad guys. They're walking. They're like, we're going to go get in Serpentera now. And so they're walking there. They do kind of a weird robot walk. They walk like the elves in the Santa Claus.
Like the Glaivation?
The ELFS.
Oh, the ELF, like the movie The Santa Claus. Okay, I thought you were talking about like they walk like claymation.
No, well, a little bit. They do kind of do this little weird like stutter step thing, and they're like, we're going to go do Mondo Proud. And then there's like a blast, and it had to be from Carter, as we'll see in a minute. And then like three cogs just like fly into frame, and they're like, what? And then all the Rangers step in. And Jason's like, if you miss Mondo so much, I'm sure we can arrange a meeting. It's pretty dope. He's like, I'm going to send you to robot hell.
Yeah, I'm going to murder you like he was.
like we killed him. Then there is a big ass fight. It's really good. It's unmorphed. Everyone has very distinct styles, and it's really cool.
I miss this so much. This is the best unmorphed fight maybe ever.
It's up there.
Because everyone is doing so good. And you can definitely tell who is, like, doing their own karate and who has, like, stunt karate men.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest one is Andros.
Andros and Coles, too. When he's doing, like, sweet flips and stuff, the wig just always happens to be in his face.
I didn't notice that. So, okay, well, those are bummers. But you know what's not a bummer is Jason and his, like, extremely powerful karate.
Yeah.
Just, kicking the front out of a cog.
He kicks a cog so hard. he does, a jump split, like a Van Damme kick.
Yeah. He does, a backflip, and it's actually him.
Yeah.
And it's because I was like, oh, and that's just his face.
This is 10, 11 years later.
Yeah. Dude rules.
Yeah.
TJ wrestler, he doesn't wrestle. He I mean, he could. TJ would be a dope wrestler.
If he was just throwing freaking power bombs and and body slams.
He's basically doing the karate version of that because his relies a lot on his muscles and power.
Yeah.
Jason David Frank, Tommy kicks ass. So he's doing all his cool stuff.
As much crap as we give him for that weird period of his life where he was just an insufferable dink.
Guy's good.
Nobody kicks as crisp as Jason David Frank.
He's doing some straight up Jackie Chan shit. His jacket gets pulled off, so he twists it around a cog, throws it on a different cog's face, and then spin kicks it, and it is wow.
Yeah.
So good.
It's just so those moves are so good.
They are. Then we get criminally small amount of Dan Southworth just doing radical karate.
He is so much better than they ever gave him time for, and that's a damn shame.
He should have been a Kamen Rider just so he could just do unmorphed fights all the time.
Yeah.
Then we get to Carter, who's just shooting the shit out of him. That's like his gun. He's just shooting them so much.
Well, look. I don't know how this joke is gonna land, but technically he's a cop.
He is.
But also his character trait in Lightspeed was I shoot things first.
Yeah, and also he's a firefighter.
That's true.
Way better. But yeah. He is just shooting the hell out of them. At one point, they shoot at him. He jumps in the air, does a spin, and then while he's rotating, shoots three of them. And it's that's my version of the fight. Then we go to Wes, who at some point stole one of the baton swords from one of the cogs and is using that to beat up the rest of the cogs. He ends the fight with a second one. I don't know where he got it. It's really good. The fight is extremely good. And we end on Cole, and he sees the generals, even though one of them's called Colonel, and it's below a general, whatever. They're all walking there, let's go to Serpentera now that the cogs are distracting the Rangers. And Cole sees it, and he runs out like a fool to go stop them by himself. And he's like, stop! And then they just turn around, they're like, shut up, and then blast him.
That's the thing I noticed about Cole in this one is how jarring his physical acting can be sometimes.
It's weirdly animated.
Yeah, he runs out there with a full head of steam, comes to a complete stop, and robotically is like, stop right there! And then goes back into a weird flex pose.
Yeah, it's like he's doing keyframes for animation, where it's you need to get to a big moment, but you're a a human person in real life, so it just looks weird.
I do like before they took off in the spaceship, going back a little bit. He was like, "Well, I don't know anything about spaceships."
Yeah, it's like, well, yeah, we know.
But I will go fight robots with you. Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, he's like, it sounds like a cool time to me. Well, I mean, I'll go anywhere to protect the Earth because that's like their thing.
It's just
and
funny
he just got in trouble from Jesus for not doing that.
It's just funny that he was like, I don't know anything about robots and spaceships.
They should have all been like, you didn't have to say that. We know.
Yeah, you have one sleeve on and the other one is around your head. So
you don't say. You don't know anything about robots? It's so weird. So he's about to get like murdered by all five generals when in flies on a galaxy glider Leo, and Ortico's like skitching kind of.
He's like, it's weird because they're on like this weird tiny hoverboard, but somehow Ortico is still stuffed into the back corner of it.
he's like standing on a tail fin, so he's out of frame. So Leo makes the save. Ortico's there. I'm not going to give him any credit.
No, he says, like, I'm Ortico. Like, he doesn't do anything.
And then Leo's like, all right, yeah, let's regroup. So they regroup with the Rangers, and Cole, like, does, or not Cole, Leo does, like, a kind of, like, a big cross motion and demorphs, and they're like, Leo, you made it.
And Ortico's like, I'm here, too.
Me, too. And they're like, yeah, okay, Ortico. We called you, didn't we? And then they do a big morph, and so Leo literally just demorphs so he can remorph.
Yeah,
and we get a series of progressively improving quality.
It's the
film grade of all the Ranger morphs.
It's the history of Power Rangers in Red Ranger morph calls.
Yeah, and
there's a couple. Things that do happen here.
Okay, hit me.
Well, they go through each one in order. So Jason starts and says, it's morphin' time, and pulls his morpher out, and I cried.
Oh, I did. I got teary, like, a lot. This is when I was, like, I had to pause it and, like, collect myself.
At this point, after that fight, seeing Jason and Tommy do, like, really good karate in a fight again, I'm already literally sitting at the edge of my couch.
It's so good.
Like, and so now I'm crying because Jason said it's morphin' time. And Tommy goes into Zeo. And after they morph, they say, like, Jason's like, does he say Mighty Morphin Red Ranger?
He says Mighty Morphin Red Ranger. They say, like, their season Red Ranger.
And then Leo morphs. And he goes, Go Galactic. And he morphs. And then he just goes, Go Galactic again.
Well, he's an idiot.
And it goes to the next one.
So a couple things I noticed is that despite it coming 4 years after Mighty Morphin, the Zeo morph sequence looks like it's from 1975. It's very old. It looks like they lost the footage and then found it on a VHS tape and then filmed that with a camera and then put it back in there.
They also like flashed it in pretty quickly because he's like. Does he say it's morphin' time in Zeo?
Yeah, he says morphin' time.
Yeah. So he flips the switch into the thing and morphs, but it quickly cuts to him already like halfway through because he has long hair and a ponytail in the morph sequence.
Yeah, he's a boy because it was 10 years ago.
So they like have to cover that up because his hair is completely different.
Yeah. Jason's like hair is like the same, but it's like a dad version. It's like a mid-20s guy version of his old Jason hair. So it's like the cut's pretty fine. TJ looks the same. When he does the shift into turbo and he's doing his funny little... I just punched my mic. He's doing his funny little,
The steering wheel?
Yeah, he's doing a steering wheel thing. You can see his abs through his shirt.
Yeah, of course. He was like, hell yeah, I get to wear that tight red shirt again.
He's like, yeah, man, I love that thing. And then it cuts to him. And, like, I feel like he looks older in the old footage. I don't know. He looks great. Then it's... after that is... Andros, and my favorite is everyone's going like real quick, like shift and turbo. And it's like, Andros, then it does this like a 3-3-5.
Right.
It's so long.
There's such a gap between the 3-3 and the 5 that I never noticed before.
He's like 3-3. What? I'm gonna try 5.
it's either 5 or 9.
Oh, geez. I'm just gonna hit 5. We'll see what happens. What if it's like 3-3-9? It just goes. And he's like, oh.
It just shoots out like a power fist.
He just launches at him. Oh, this is embarrassing. So then who's after that?
Leo.
His is stupid. And then after that is Carter?
Yep.
Carter, he does his. That one I still think is the coolest of the actual sequences, morph sequences.
Yeah. Even seeing them all lined up like this.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Then it's Wes's, and then Eric's, and then Cole, and then Orko's like, and Orko. Yeah.
You know that scene in the original Jumanji where there's the stampede, and then there's the one rhino?
Tired little rhino.
The rhino's Orko.
He just does like a pose. He's like, and me. Don't forget about your best friend. So sad. And then we get Big Fight Part 2. And I actually wrote down the parts of the big fight.
We get the red smoke explosion.
Oh, yes. I also took a picture of that. There's a big red like smoke explosion, and then afterwards there's fire.
Yeah.
Which is like, in case you forgot, we're the Red Rangers.
Is this when the bad guys are like, what, 10 Red Rangers?
Yeah. Which is cool. And I just feel bad for Dickie. I just like, you know, it's kind of a bummer.
I do too. With Jason here as the Mighty Morphin Red Ranger, there's no suit for Dickie to wear.
Honestly, this sucks to say, but if you had to lose one and it wasn't Orko, it makes the most sense as Tiki because everybody else's suit is accounted for.
Yeah.
But if you would have imagined him in the ninja outfit.
That would have been so cool. And this, aside from, I think, the big explosion shot, this is all American footage.
I think that explosion shot is definitely American footage.
Is it?
Yeah.
It looked a little grainy to me, but maybe my brain just put that there.
No, there's no Sentai footage in
okay.
this.
Okay. Then there's no reason for him to not just be in that sweet ninja suit.
Right?
Damn it, Steve. Why didn't you give anyone your number?
Why'd you move to Phoenix and not tell anyone? Or what happened was they called up like Johnny Young Bosch and they're like, hey, Johnny, we don't have Steve's number. We're trying to get him back for this big Forever Red. And he's like, let me see if I can find it. As he finds it and he calls it, he's like, hey, did you hear about they're doing this big Forever Red thing? They want you back. And Steve's like, yeah, that sounds dope. Did they say anything else? And Johnny Bosch is like, yeah, they said you're going to be Tommy's butler. And he's like, you didn't find my number. He's like, you got it, pal. But yeah, so then this big fight part two. It's very, very good. It starts off, there's five parts to it because there's five generals, 10 rangers, so it's 2-on-1 for everybody. It's Jason and Cole, the first and the newest.
Yeah, I love that.
And first of all, Jason never says the word Cole. He calls him newbie, he calls him rookie, yeah. He calls him kid. He never says his name, and I kind of love it. Theirs is pretty good. At one point, he's like, all right, hold on, newbie. Let me show you how it's done. And then just, like, goes into, like, straight up, like just beating ass on Venjix.
Because Cole is fighting him and not doing super great. It's, like, a lot of blow for blow, and Cole is taking a couple of hits. And then Jason's like, hang on, rookie. I got this. And just, like, comes in and kicks him.
He does a kick. He does, like, a bicycle kick, like a flying bicycle kick thing. Then we cut to Wes and Tommy, which I think at this point, I don't know if it lines up this way, but it seems like they're going like outside in, right?
Cause
with the exception of Orko and Eric, cause like Eric's like an extra and Orko's like a fish. So they're not gonna.
Poor Orko, man.
You know, I will say. That fight's pretty radical for like a couple reasons. So they're fighting. I think they're fighting Garak, voiced by Walter Jones. Did he say any lines? Apparently. Did I hear them? No.
He probably was just like, ooh, ah, gotcha. You know?
Why was Venjix Archie Cow and not.
That is strange to me.
Not like Walter Jones, you know? Like, nothing against Archie. He's very good. That dude went on to do CSI. Like, he became a real actor.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like a big, like, nostalgia season. And I don't think anybody's like, man, I wish Kai was also in this episode. You know? Just seems a little weird. They're fighting him. West does, like, a little bit. But then, Tommy, like, straight up, like, takes over. And he's like, Zio flying murder kick or whatever he says.
This is a brand new move. He never did this before.
There was a couple times in Zio where they would have like a special maneuver, right? Where they would Rocky would like launch at someone in like a blue blur or something, or like Cat would block something with their shield and it would do like a bounce back or something.
Yeah.
I don't think Tommy ever did a Matrix kick.
No, I feel like this might be somehow a combo attack with him and Wes. Because he flies in and does the Zio murder kick, and he kicks, what one is this, Garrick?
This is Garrick.
Kicks Garrick, which is
that's fantasy Derek.
Kicks him square in the chest, but it freezes and does like a bullet time spin around it.
Yeah.
Which is a time force thing.
Right, and then there's like a big explosion that comes out of Tommy's feet.
Yeah, and he kicked Garrick so hard that he flies halfway across the moon and dies.
He's dead.
He blows
Garrick's
up
dead.
And doesn't come back. I want to go back to Oroko and Eric real quick, though.
They're next. They're up next.
Oh, okay. Because Oroko is doing ninjetti moves.
It's radical. Like, yeah. he gets cool stuff. He's doing that, like, hey, I'm sitting down. Come get me. And then Tesla, like, goes to attack. And he's like, whoop, missed me. But it's like, missed me.
Missed me. Literally, and anyone could be that. Like, I don't know who actually voiced him. I don't think it was the original actor, because he would have just been there. I think.
Well, the thing is, they would have to put like a big old like bulb on his head, and like they have a lot of prosthetics.
That's
like,
true.
Do they still have those? Probably not. B, would you want to take the time and money to do that?
But
also, probably not.
And also, like, it could have been any voice actor. Because does anybody remember what Oroko sounded like?
No, he sounded like a guy underwater. But yeah, so I remember what Sestro sounded like, and I remember what Delphine sounded like, and those are the two important ones from that season.
Yep.
And they will not be appearing in this episode. So he's doing that. Eric is just Eric, but at some point they end up like getting like Tesla like blasts behind him, and there's like an avalanche, and they fly down a sand dune. Like they're like cartwheeling and like rolling end over end down a sand dune, and it looks like genuinely dangerous.
Yeah. Because Orko's doing like back handsprings down a sand dune, and like real stunt guy is doing that.
Yeah,
and it's down a real hill, because you can tell by the way that he's reacting to the gravity.
Yeah, like when he lands, he like slides into the sand dune.
And it's just like, damn, watch your neck and back.
Yeah, and Eric, that stunt guy's doing like legit cartwheels that like he has to readjust every single time he lands because it's sand. Going downhill. I don't know how they kill Tesla, but they do. I think they do like that, like a team up, but they both land, and Oracle like puts his like sword for like Eric to like balance his gun on, and they just they shoot Tesla to death. Then we cut to Leo and TJ, and they're fighting the ladybug. That one didn't get a name. That one said something, I know for sure, because Tesla, that's Catherine Sutherland. Don't remember. She would have been like, "Hiya!" Right. I don't remember. But the ladybug one said something, and I didn't hear it at all. They fight it. I don't really remember what theirs is.
I can't either.
Oh, they have, because Leo had two. He had his the trans dagger and the sword and the quasar saber, and they like he slashed it in the air, and then TJ had like two swords also. Somehow he had like his turbo sword and like a big knight sword. And then like they killed him that way. I don't know what that big second sword is from or why he had it, but there it was. And then lastly is Andros and Carter, and theirs is maybe my favorite because they are just doing radical bullet time jumps and dodges while shooting the piss out of the other guy.
Yeah, it's all really good.
It was really cool.
I mean, I love it when old Power Rangers team up with new Power Rangers anyway, but I don't know, just to see all these pairings, and it's not like the pairings you would think right off,
No, like, because, like, I mean, Jason and Cole make sense because, like, the first and the newest, like, that makes right. a lot of sense.
But, like, Wes and Eric aren't together.
No, Wes and Eric aren't, like, Tommy and Wes, I feel like theirs makes sense, like, a little bit. But then, like, you have, like Carter and Andros who never, who, like, they hung out once.
Right.
You know, that's it. But, yeah, so then they do that. They do this cool shooty thing. Then we cut back to Cole, who, like, jumps up, and he gets, like, a graphic behind him. It's, like, Spirit of the Earth, and it's, like, his, like, blazing lion.
Yeah.
And then he hits the ground with his dagger, which I've already forgotten the name of it. His wild dagger. I don't know if it ever had a name. It was a little dagger thing. He hits the ground, and you know, like, in the first season when the T-Rex hits its butt on the ground, and there's, like, that, like, explosion line that comes up yeah. from Earth? He does that. That's new.
Yep.
But he does it.
It's pretty cool, though.
I think this is also a team-up move, like, between... It's like a T-Rex move.
It's definitely a T-Rex move.
So, like, maybe it's also some sort of, like...
I feel like the pair's, like, powers are combined.
Yeah.
So when they do a big attack like that, it's, like, both of their power into the one attack.
Yeah, because it hits Vengix, and he, like, flies off, and then Jason's, like, still number one. And then Vengeance is like, well, I still have Serpentera, and like runs, just jumps in Serpentera.
You think that's just like a throwaway Jason, like, yeah, still number one thing. But then Vengeance reacts to it and like yeah. responds to it. And it's so good.
It's like, it's nice to when the writing is good. I like that when it happens. So he hops in Serpentera. We get a big wide shot of Serpentera. It's all CGI. It's all 2002 TV budget CGI. It looks naked.
It doesn't look great. It definitely doesn't look as menacing as the actual Serpentera did.
It's like a series of gray tubes and Serpentera's head. It's not great. It's what they had, you know, because yeah. there's no Sentai footage. So they're like, what are we going to do? And they're like, we got to get back to the Astro Mega ship. And then pragmatic ass Carter, shoot first, ask questions to the dead body afterwards, Carter Grayson, is like, no, we can't let this thing leave the moon. What are you doing?
Right.
We're going to stop it now.
Yeah, he's like, there's no time for us to go all the way back there.
And Cole's like, okay, there's only one chance, and it's a cool new toy yeah. I got from space, from Zord Jesus last time.
Let me call the schnoz cycle.
It's just a big nose. And so he hops on it, and it unfurls, and it's a falcon, kind
of. Sort of. So is this also part of the falcon Zord bow motorcycle?
I feel like the falcon is, like, weirdly tied to Animus, because, like, that's how they woke it up, was, like, talking to him in hell, you know?
Right.
So I feel like that kind of makes sense. It definitely makes the Dragon Zord cry, though.
Yeah.
So it just yells the Dragon Zord yell that it does. So that's cool.
That's just part of the crossover, man.
You sure?
Everyone
their powers combined.
Is here.
So then the Serpentera shoots a blast at Cole. Cole dodges. It's a motorcycle that flies. You get it.
Yeah.
He does like a big thing around, and he's like, oh, that gives me an idea. I don't know how he connected these dots, but it's like, it shoots from the mouth. Let me do, okay. And then he just dogfights for a second before he flies straight into Serpentera's mouth with, like, this shield in front of him.
He flies into the mouth. He says something like, here goes nothing, or like, I have to do this.
This might kill me.
Yeah, I have to do this for Earth. Something, you know, something along those lines.
Yeah, yeah.
It just flies down Serpentera's throat and out of its ass. He goes all the way through Serpentera.
He's got to destroy the whole thing.
The giant evil Zord that stomped Tor into the dirt, if you remember.
I do.
And f***ing Cole gets to just fly through it and blow it up in space while the other Red Rangers are like, yay!
And Cole just gives it some weird food poisoning. At one point, it cuts back to the other Rangers like on the ground being like, what is he doing? And then he just shoots out the butt. And they're like, oh, woo! And then one of my favorite shots is we cut into the cockpit, and Venice just goes, I failed the Empire! And then dies. And he blows up and he dies. And then he lands, everybody celebrates. And we go to commercial, we come back, and they're all, I assume, back on Earth, getting out of the megaship. And they all put their hair, all of them, asterisk, Orko went home.
He left.
Because he knows where he's not needed. He doesn't need to be the 10th wheel. So they all put their hands in like a circle, like fists. And they, like, you know, It's like a Power Rangers, but just without that part.
Yeah, it's like a cool Red Ranger version.
Yeah, I kind of like it. And then Tommy's like, everyone did great. We protected Earth. You should be very proud. May the power protect you all. And then he walks away like a cool guy. And then Cole goes, wow, Tommy really is the coolest guy.
Tommy walks away and Cole's like, wow, that's Tommy. But you'll remember when Tommy showed up, Cole was like, who is that? And now he's leaving. He's like, yeah, Tommy, the best Power Ranger of all of them.
Of all 10 of us, and really is all, the best one.
All the other Red Rangers, sans Orko, are like
and Tiki.
Are like, you stupid nerd. I don't think so.
They're like, you dumb nerd. Tia's like, I don't know if he's the greatest. I replaced him after all. So, and then Jason's like, are you kidding me? I was the one doing all the work while he was kissing on Kimberly at the juice bar. And I was like, nuclear dump from outer space. It was so good. Then they kind of like go back and forth. Carter's like, well, at least his haircut's regulation now, you big dork.
And then Eric, did you catch Eric?
Eric's is great.
He's like, my Q-Rex could eat his Dragonzord for breakfast. And then he mimics like doing it.
And Wes is like, what are you doing? He's like, that's what I'm like, come
on. He puts his little hands, like he tucks his elbows in and puts his hands up. And he's like, ah, rah, rah. Because he's still riding that high of like, we just destroyed Serpentera and fought with 10 Red Rangers on the same team.
Yeah, it's great. And then they kind of all, then the rest of them try to get in there like, well actually, I'm the best. And Leo's is like the most like limp thing. He's like, I discovered a new galaxy. No, you were on a ship that discovered a new galaxy. Yeah. You didn't even have a job, bud.
And Andros is like, I actually saved 2 planets.
Well, okay, well, here's the thing about that. Is because it goes from Leo trying to brag about being there when a place that someone already... You didn't discover anything. People lived there before. Leo, you dumbass. And then it goes to Wes, and he's like, I changed history. How come he gets a fan club and I don't? And then Anders goes, well, I saved 2 worlds. That's not as big as changing history, no, bud.
But
that's a step down.
Then we bookend it with TJ, who just seems like, did I ever tell you guys about the time I was baked into a pizza?
And they all go, yeah, you did. Like, every time they get together for drinks, he's like, one time I was in a big pizza. And they're like, we know, TJ. It's the 10th time you told us about the big pizza. Tell us again about the big jacket. and then that's the end of the episode.
That's the end of the episode, yeah.
It was really good.
It was, yeah.
Josh, you started, so I get to pick the first best. Can I just say Jason?
Yeah, it's your show.
I just want Jason. He's so cool.
He is very, very cool.
Do you remember it? Was it WrestleMania 33? When Scott Hall, all he did was hand sting a baseball bat, and you and me both like fainted. We had like the vapors from it. It was so cool.
Yeah, that's Jason.
That's Jason. He's got that big Razor Ramon energy, man, and I love it.
I'm going to best that little end scene of the Red Rangers just hanging out and dunking on Tommy and all explaining why they're better than him while he walks off into the sunset off camera.
Yeah.
I thought that was really fun. I really liked that scene.
Yeah, that was, it's really good. I like, honestly, I kind of wish there was another 20 minutes of just them at the bar afterwards.
Yeah.
Like,
Orko was there. It was like, one time I went through a car wash.
And they were like, I don't think you did. I think that was the other one. Just like, I know.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't drink out of the dirty lake.
No, I'm not an idiot. Like, Titus. That would have been cool for Orko.
I'm not even the leader on my team.
the worst is, because I really like this episode.
I did too.
And there are some things, I think, okay, here's the actual, Benny put this one on the table. This is the actual worst, is that at the end of the episode, they wanted to have a Zord fight with like a bunch of old Zords. And Disney or whoever the toy company was like, we're not paying to sell old toys. So we'll only give you more money to do the CGI for the final fight if it's with the new toy we can sell, which is why Cole got on a dumb motorcycle and flew into a mountain.
Yeah, it was only a couple of quick shots, but there was a CGI Cole on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
That was real bad, too.
Yeah, I feel like they could have, if Power Rangers was what it is today and they were doing this, like, you know, Hasbro would pony up whatever money they need to, you know?
And then you could sell a new Megazord made up of old Red Ranger Zords.
Oh, the Mega Red Zord. That would be very good. But yeah, that's my actual worst. My joke worst is that, like, it kind of sucks that Tiki's not even mentioned.
It does. That does suck. I'm going to worst, because I also really liked it, but I feel like it being just a one regular length episode works against it in a lot of ways. And so I'm going to worst the fact that it's not a two-parter.
That's fair.
Because I want to see more of Red Rangers hanging out.
I think the meta worst is that we didn't get any follow-ups. We didn't get Forever Yellow. We didn't get Forever Black Forever Black and Green.
Right.
Because or like Forever Pink and one white. You know, or Forever, I guess, Blue. At this point. Forever Blue, that would be dope. Yeah. That's the only bummer is that, like, I didn't get like Forever Pink, the most competent team you could possibly put together, led by badass Kimberly. Who I feel like would be like a mom. Like, she just shows up and she's like, I gotta pick my kids up at 3, so like, we need to wrap this up. MVP, I don't know.
I'm giving mine to Jason.
I think,
it's part of the reason I didn't best him. But the other part is that after the episode was over, it's like that end scene was just really fun.
Yeah, I think I'm also, I'm gonna MVP Amit Bamak again.
Yeah, man.
Can I do that?
Yes.
Because this episode was dope, and, like, it was well-written, not just for a Power Rangers episode, but, like, it was a well-written, like, he had so many moving parts that he had to put together.
Yeah.
That worked, and there was...
I mean, at its core, it boils down to, like, a couple big fight scenes and, like, very limited interaction.
But everything, like, in between those, like, worked really well in the very limited space. He got Bulk and Skull in here.
Yeah, that's like, nuts. I knew all the Red Rangers are here. When Bulk showed up, I was like, really?
Yeah.
They got Bulk. And then it panned down to Skull, and I was like, and Skull is back?
And Skull. They're just chilling. So, like, this is Club Bulkmeyer. We know that, like, Skull goes on to, like, own some hotels or something. I feel like he fronted the money for this club and, like, made bank.
Yeah.
And then bought his uncle's hotel from the unaired Bulk and Skull pilot. But yeah, I'm going to give mine to Amit because, like, hey, man, no one else should be allowed to write Power Rangers for like a little while.
Yeah, because this is the first time an episode of Power Rangers is for old fans. Because, like, the kids watching this, like, new kid, like, if this is your first season of Power Rangers, you don't know 8 out of 10 of these people. You mean, you might know Tommy.
You might know Tommy.
You have no idea.
You probably know Wes and Eric because they were in, you know, an episode.
You have no idea.
You don't know Orico.
You don't know Orico. Nobody. I barely remember Orico.
Yeah.
You don't know what Serpentera is or why that's dangerous or what the Machine Empire was and why these ones look like Beetleborgs. Like, you don't know any of this stuff.
You couldn't just check it out on Netflix. Like, unless, like your cousin had some VHSs or whatever. Like, there's a good chance that if you started with this, you genuinely never saw, like, anything else.
Yeah. I feel like the only thing it's really missing is that, like,
Tiki.
The callbacks stop at Zeo. There's no Piranatrons or, like, there's nothing really from in space besides the actual Rangers from those seasons that are there.
They got the Astromega ship.
Right.
So, also, apparently Alpha was in the episode Richard Horowitz was credited.
He was. When they were all gathered in, like, the command room of the Mega ship, for 1 second Alpha walks by and he's like, everything's all set, Tommy.
Okay.
And then he's standing in the background because you can see his thing lighting up on his chest.
I didn't even notice. I saw it in the credits and I was like, oh, really?
Yeah. So yeah, Alpha was here too.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like the amount of space they would have had to get more stuff in if this was a two-parter probably would have gotten a lot more references to other things in.
Yeah, that's another reason why condensing it into 20 minutes I think works against it.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
Yep. So now all that we got left to do before we end this very long episode is to rank it.
Let's start right at the top.
Okay.
Comparing it to Reinforcements from the Future, I don't know. I love this episode. It was a lot of fun. I don't know if it's better story-wise.
I don't think so.
This episode, there's no connective tissue in this episode to anything else. This is just like in a vacuum a Red Ranger episode. You can skip it and you'll miss nothing because it's all self-contained.
Right. There's only one. There's like two shots with other with the Wild Force Rangers in it, and even in that, like they squeezed in like, oh, it's in the morning when they spar.
Right.
Like. So like, oh, hey, like it's still got even that little bit. There's like continuity there that I feel like any other writer would be like, they're just sitting on a bench.
Yeah.
You know, like Catherine Torpy would not have.
Yeah.
Put
they're
that
in the
there,
park.
You know?
What are they doing? They're in the park.
You know, just being at the park.
Doing park. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think it's better than Reinforcement from the Future, but only because that had two episodes to like. Really get everything in, and mm-hmm. It had like this whole like Rancic backstory. It tied together Power Rangers lore in a way that like never had been done before, and this episode did it too, but it was less like tying together a bunch of lore and just being like those guys remember when that guy had a thing on the moon.
Yeah, it's just a string of references more than like a connection,
right? So I think it's under that. I do think it's better than The Bare Necessities.
I think so too.
Which, again, an episode that I genuinely loved, that I thought was really great and had like a lot of really great character backstory for Taylor.
This one has sweet kicks.
This one's got sweet kicks. Did you see Jason? You see TJ's abs? Yeah. That wasn't in Bare Necessities.
Nope.
That had two little shining kids. That's it. So coming in at number two, Forever Red. All right. And that's going to do it for us for today. Boy, this one went long. Been a minute since just the two of us did an episode this long.
Yeah.
But, you know, so who, if not us, then who will talk about the sweet kicks?
I can think of nary a one person.
Had to be somebody. So we, again, next week and the week after, we're going to be, taking a vacation. So, we'll see you January 6th. Is that what I said? Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
January 6th. Here's the fun part is we're going to still record next week and, the next 2 weeks. So for us, it will seem like no time has passed, but for you, we will not, it'll be 2 weeks. So we'll see you in January in the new year, the far off distant year of 2020.
So have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And in between now and then.
Yeah. And I, you know, all your happy holidays. Cause I think Hanukkah is right around Christmas this year too.
I think it starts the Monday before Christmas, either the Monday or Christmas Eve.
So may all your happy holidays be happy. God, I was really close to making that sentence work, huh? We'll see you next year. I'm not even going to look up what the next episode is because we're going to take 2 weeks off. So we'll see you next year. But until then,
may the power protect you.
And sometimes Josh punches his microphone right in the face.
You can cut that.
I'm gonna.
It's a separate track now.
Gonna give you two takes. One that I think is more with the cadence, and then I guess my best Jason impression.
In order to prepare for this, I just watched a video 7 minutes long of every time that a Power Ranger says it's morphin' time in Power Rangers, because, you know, I gotta get that delivery just right. So I'm going to give you three alternate takes. Choose whichever you wish.
That one was probably way too much. Whatever. Do with that what you will. Bye.
You guys weren't going to do this without us, were you? Rangers together! Mighty Morphin! Alien! Ninja! Zeo! Turbo! Space! Galaxy! Lightspeed! Time Force! Wild Force! Rangers forever!
Here's for the new episode of Morphin Grid. I'm away from my microphone for your safety.